Everybody else? Yes, I got a voice back. Did you have a good Christmas? Or should I say, are you having a good Christmas? I'm not quite sure on this sort of Twixtmas, they're calling it now. Have you noticed? Twixtmas. Have you noticed the tree? Of course you've noticed the tree. Have you noticed these presents? Have you noticed, is there a spelling mistake? What does it say on there? Can you see? Does it say presence? Oh, it doesn't say presents. It says presence. Oh, this is an awkward talk for a child with a northern accent, isn't it? This is. It hasn't a T and an S on the end. It has a C and an E. Because when Jesus came into the world, it's God with us. It's God's presence. Who God is with us. And so we put it like that. And you might notice as well something a little bit unusual, a part of our Christmas tree. I bet nobody else in the whole of Rochford has this as part of their Christmas tree. Because Jesus didn't just come to be a baby, but to be that man who died for us on the cross. And so we've got the gift of God's presence linked with the cross and the price that Jesus paid to take away the wrong things that each one of us has done. And so we've got it like that. God's presence, God with us. And he didn't just come for a few years. God was here on earth just for a short time. But God is with us now. That's what we're about as a church. Now, I don't know what you got for Christmas. Did you get some really good presents? Okay, I bet you didn't get one of these. Okay. One of the things I've done, all right, look at me getting ready for the new year, is I've changed a few of my keys on my key ring. Not very exciting, I know, okay. But there's keys on there. I don't even know what they do anymore. So I'm thinking, okay, I haven't used them all year. I'm going to put them to one side. And the ones I do use kept getting tangled up with everybody, you know, all the others. So I cleared them all out. But the reason I did it is because I got this key ring, okay. I got this key ring. Okay, for those who can't see at the back, it's round and circular. And on it, it's got a 50-year calendar. All right. So if I want to know, you know, what day my birthday will be when I'm 104, I can find out. Now, that's not very useful, is it, really? I'm not likely to be around at 104, I don't think. But all the days, you line up the year with the month, and it lines up and tells you, oh, it's going to be a Friday, okay? Oh, it's going to be a Sunday. You can work it out. They're not impressed, all right? They're not impressed. You're feeling very sleepy. No, okay, so, all right. Now, why am I showing you that? Why am I talking about that this morning? Well, you know, God is with us. God's presence, not just at Christmas, but every day of every year. And so we can look back today over our shoulders at 2018, and we can look and see some happy days. Did you have some happy days this year? Yeah? Can you think of one that you could share? Christmas was happy. That's good. Let me guess, your birthday was happy as well. Was that good? Summer holidays? Oh, it might. No? What? First day back at school? No, that was a sad day. Okay, you can look back at different days. And you know something, girls? God was with you in those days. Okay? Jesus was there with you, watching over you. And we can look forward today as well into next year and know that God is with us. The Lord Jesus said he'd never leave us or forsake us. He'll be there as well. And if it takes 50 years until he comes again, although I think he might come before then personally, but on here, every day of all those years, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever the day is, listen to what the Bible says. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So I'm not really going to use this key ring particularly to find out what's happening in 15 years' time on a Thursday. But just as a reminder to me, every day is the day the Lord has made, and to make the most of it. And I hope you'll do that, girls, as well. It's good to see you this morning. Hope you're going to learn lots more about Jesus in your class, and it's going to make a difference in the years to come. I can see more children arriving. Oh, they've missed the children's talk. Not to worry. You'll have to tell them when they come in what we were talking about.
Do you like treasure hunts? Did you know this Christmas story is really about a treasure hunt? One clue actually leads to another one, and all that kind of stuff. And when you read the story of the wise men, the Magi, you know, searching for Christ at Bethlehem, they were searching, it says, for the newborn king of the Jews. They didn't really know who he was. They just knew that he was in some way someone who was very, very special. You know, we live in a world where people, in a way, are attracted to Jesus, but they are unsure of who he really is. And like the Magi, they have got some kind of information about him, but it's not enough. And oftentimes, some of the things they've been told are not true. They have images from the culture that we live with, from religious leaders, from the mass media. And to them, it means then Jesus is something of a curiosity, a man both worshipped and cursed, reviled and adored. One of the newspapers last week said myth and legend, and possibly real. So it all can be very confusing and very bewildering. So we have to ask some questions. And like the Magi, we have to find the real Jesus. Now let me tell you a couple of things. God reveals the real Jesus in different ways. You see, with the Magi, it started with that star, that single star. That was the first clue on their treasure hunt. The shepherds, it was angels. And that was a shattering revelation. Because God does things like that to us at times. And he adjusts the methods to our personality, to our individuality. Some people find Christ in a very quiet experience of his power working in their lives. You just heard Valerie give testimony a long time ever before she found him a savior. For others like the Magi, it's this long, weary search following just little clues, that single light for them that holds out a promise that God's somewhere there, and somehow Jesus can be found. Five words this morning. The obligation that's laid upon us. God led them in a way they would understand. They were obliged to follow it. They were wise men of science, of learning, of religion, of astronomy. They had been studying the wonders of the heavens. And so God led these men through those astronomical phenomena. God had their eyes fixed. We think they were Zoroastrians. Their eyes fixed on the stars. So God used that to get their attention. And he guided them in a way that was familiar to them. Now that shouldn't sound strange. Because no one knows better than God. He knows what it will take to get the attention of the Magi. And he knows what it will take to get your attention and mine. Maybe it's intellectual. That girlie there is working with folk who are in the academic realm. It's an intellectual. It's complex. How do you reach them? Then you reach them at that level. And in this complex, wonderful world of ours, the design and all that's involved with that. I started working in a laboratory as an industrial chemist. Every single day, I was making experiments. We were controlling huge tracts of industry with the experiments we were doing in the laboratory. If the manganese was wrong, then something at that end would go wrong. And all kinds of things like that. And I made an experiment one day to trust Jesus. He went through my intellect, you see. For others, it's emotional. And so you read his story and you see how he humbles himself. How he shows us we have a loving Heavenly Father. One who offers forgiveness and comfort and friendship and love. And others who are caught in addictions or whatever it is, who need changes in their life. And that's their greatest need. So he leaves a paper trail for them. Shows they only have to turn the pages of the gospel. And he leaves the paper trail all the way through. How he changes those disciples of his and so many others. And then, surprise, surprise, the one that we're all looking for, the one who wants to help us in our search is there. But the obligation is ours. But not only is there an obligation that we have to find him in a way that we would understand, but there are obstacles we have to overcome. Don't think for one moment the journey was difficult. They traveled a great distance. Travel then was slow. It was dangerous. It was costly. The sign in the sky could not assure them that they would actually find him. So there's a lot of uncertainty and there was a lot of danger. And it's like that with people, religious and intellectual and relational and emotional. We're not sure what it will mean. How it will affect our lifestyle. Now, to come to Jesus, the Bible says, is very easy. Because he wants us to come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I was reading it this morning in the message. It was fantastic to read it that way. But it's hard because of our feelings, because of our relationships. Our minds can create all kinds of obstacles. So an obligation and obstacles and outcome. They said, what will we find? In a way, they would tell you, we found Jesus. No. He found them. See, who set the stars in place in the heavens for them to see and call them by name? He did. He was the maker of all the stars. They found him. He found them. They traveled a long way. They were important. They were learned. They were men of wealth and of the world. And they found a child born to a poor family in a tiny country that had been conquered by Rome. But they were not disappointed. And they were not angry, because the Bible tells me how they rejoiced and how they worshipped. And when you find him and he finds you, when you go looking for Jesus, you will always be surprised. Because when we find him, we are surprised by the wonder and the joy and by the power and by the amazing transforming encounter that it is. And you have to worship. You have to worship. An outcome becomes opportunity. You see? For whose gift will be greater? At first sight, these magi are the most generous givers in the Christmas story. They've come to pay homage to a king. So the gifts that they are giving were fixed before they left their home country. But you know what? They're meeting the King of Kings. And whatever we give to God, no matter how great, it will always be less than what he gives back to us. They traveled a long, long way to see him. And Jesus traveled all the way through space and time and eternity to find them. They made sacrifices as they journeyed, but he would sacrifice so much more for them, because it would ultimately be his life upon that cross. So do you know what was the greatest gift that day? It wasn't the gold, it wasn't the frankincense, it wasn't the myrrh. It was their devotion. It was their devotion. See, they saw, the scripture says, they saw the young child. Not just, there he is. It wasn't just that. They stood still. They looked. I would reckon they didn't speak for some minutes, because there was something about him. So they looked, and they looked again. And they glanced at the mother, and then they looked and fixed their eyes on him. Do you know why? Because this was God with us. And here in this closing service of our Christmas time and of our year, would you do that? I asked you at the beginning to reflect on, to make a statement about him being here. He is God, and yet he is man. He is God, yet he is Savior. He's the one who's willing to receive us and to receive all who will trust in him. That's falling back in love with the gospel. He will save. And I reckon when they went home, they would think about him. And they would admire him. And somehow the wonder of it all would captivate their hearts. How do I know that? Well, it says they saw the young child and they worshipped him. You cannot properly worship a Christ you do not know. When you worship him, you let faith take you from the manger to the throne room of heaven. When you worship him, it takes you back to God himself. When you worship him, you realize he is the prophet. So every word that he says, every promise that he gives, you will believe it. That will mean you worship him. He is the priest. And so you will look at the sacrifice that he's made upon that cross, and you will realize again how there is forgiveness and cleansing, how there are new starts, how there are changes in the way we behave and live our lives. When you worship him, you see he is the King of Kings. And a king who commands. So you say, I have to obey. When you see him and you worship him, you realize the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's the one you follow. See, that's how I know it made a difference. You see, they saw the young child and they worshipped him. And they presented their gifts. Oh, it's nothing that's niggardly. All of them are precious. They gave him what they could. And there's nothing niggardly about it. Hey, Mary, go home. Take your alabaster jar with you. See, she's one of the folk who'd learned to worship him. And one day, Mary will take her alabaster jar and pour ointment on him against the day when he hangs on a cross, and a fragrance fills the house, and it still lingers on the cross. Oh, you know how Judas will say, why this waste? Hey, she'd been forgiven. So there is no limit to what you will give when you're forgiven. And they saw him, they worshipped him, and they presented their gifts. And you know what we do? Just the same. Just the same. That's the outcome of all we have been talking about over these past days and weeks. But then there was the obvious. Because you suddenly, as you read the story, see how the wise men left. They returned home another way. Now, the full story is because Herod wanted And we know the full story. Herod was angry. Herod was disturbed. He thought that there was a usurper for the throne lurking there. Herod wanted to get rid of that usurper before he came to power. No. So he wanted the wise men to tell him, "Have you found him?" And God warns them again, "Go home another way." But when you think about it, an encounter with Jesus always sends you back another way. There's been a tremendous effort on their part getting there. So would they give less in the service of his name? Even as they knelt to present their gifts, one word could spell it all out. It's dedication. Just stop for a minute with me, won't you? And think about the world in which we're living. The impact that evil makes on the men and women and the young people who we are rubbing shoulders with. You see, you cannot look with desire on evil, ugly things and stay the same. The shady deal, the questionable joke, the wrong people, the wrong associates. A man will say, and they say to me again and again, "Pastor, it doesn't make any difference to me." Oh, it does. Oh, it does. It will all register on a man's character. So you want to know why the young people are walking around with knives? And you want to know why so much is going wrong in our society? What they are seeing, what they are touching, is registering in their character. And their character is creating the behavior patterns that are so distressing to us all. But if you have the good, the beautiful, the amazing influence, if you have the presence of the Son of God, would that not do something like that too? Would that not sweeten and change our lives? Hey, Pastor, stop. Tell us how, where. Well, a service like this. You came in like you come in 52 Sundays of the year. And one of the Sunday mornings, this was like Bethel. A ladder went from here up to heaven. This guy just said it. Many prayers. Many thanks to the girlie over there. You came here. And it became Bathsheba. You'd had a rough week. A tiresome week. A bothersome week. A distressing week. Bathsheba was the place of refreshing and renewing. And you sat down. Over here, the moment we announced how great thou art, they were so glad. You see, because obviously at some point of time, a song sung one Sunday morning lifts you. Or Gilgal, the place of sacrifice, and you sat there, and God made a play for your life. And a challenge. And you knew you had to submit. Oh, that's just coming here. A disturbance in your life. an emotional upheaval, and he was there. And he put a new song and a new faith in our hearts. And he brought you through so you can't ever be the same again. You've got to go another way. When we have an encounter with Jesus, we cannot be the same again. We cannot live as we lived before. We have met the one who has shown us what it really means to live for God, to obey God, to triumph. We've met the one who's taken us all the way from Bethlehem to glory. You see, every encounter with Jesus makes you go another way. And every experience of his grace and power will send you back another way. And the visions and the contact with God was remarkable, because here was the human in touch with the divine. And the dark despair and the grim uncertainty of their world suddenly changed as light and liberty and life all became meaningful in another kind of way. And now there's hope in their hearts. And when we see Jesus, that's the message, that we too will have life and liberty and hope in this sin-darkened, this sin-tormented world. We can't keep this vision to ourselves. It must be shared. One of the greatest explorers and missionaries of yesterday was William Grenfell. He became knighted Sir William Grenfell. Do you know, his story was this. He went to a Moody Sankey service. That's what he did. And it sent him back another way. A way that would lead to unstinted effort and service in Labrador. And he changed Labrador for time and eternity. I mentioned Roger Brotherton. He came in here 3 Sunday mornings with his wife. He went another way. Became one of the great leaders now in the States. How I could tell you. Young Ken Shelley walked up these steps, walked here first to accept Christ as Savior. Now he's a leading church planter in New Zealand. He went home another way. I don't have the time to tell you. You see, the encounter with Jesus takes you home another way. A way that will lead to unstinted effort and service. You worship, because when you worship, this is where the treasure hunt ends. You find an eternal secret that God is love. When you know that, you must go another way. And for those Magi, it was as if the searchlight had shone on the very heart of God. Oh, I'm always conscious that we have to be aware of his might and his majesty and aware of his glory. But here's the little song that I love. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. And if only we could discover God's love again like that. Its supreme exhibition, of course, is on that lonely hill called Calvary and that Roman gibbet cross. If only the men and women and the boys and girls of our community of Rochford and of our county of Essex, if only our politicians, they would stop their Brexit arguments. If they could find this secret. God is love and wants to touch, transform, and change their lives. They would go back to their desks. They would go back to their workplaces. They would go back to the world of commerce and the world of politics. They would go back to the homes of our land, and they would go back another way. And it would bring a glow and a luster once more to our nation. And this almost stupid way of behaving, of looking just for the selfie, would give way to service and sacrifice. And I just wanted to tell you, as this year comes to its end, you have to go home another way. Because here we have met with him, this wonderful Savior who's opened our eyes. We've looked at him, we've worshipped him, and now we give ourselves to him. And that exposes us to the God who is love. And when that pours from the throne room of heaven by that anointing of the Holy Spirit into all of our lives, what a luster, what a glow, what a beauty, what a transcending of our church and of our homes, of our families, and the friends we rub shoulders with, and the year that we face that's yet to come. Now you see it. Now you see it. And that's the opportunity that you and I have. In a moment, I'm going to announce a song to finish. I'm going to pray over you. And I'm going to ask you to go home another way. I just wanted you to know, because you get blessed by God, you go home another way. Turn and sing 39. As with gladness, men of old, did the guiding star behold. And you notice how it says it? This is what I wanted you to pick out, this reiterative phrase. So most gracious God, may we, led by you, forever be. 39. Father, bless your people this morning. Because we have looked like the Magi looked. Because we have worshipped like they worshipped. Because we bring ourselves as a gift to you. Take these, your folk. May blessing, may mercy, may favor, may loving kindness, may grace rest on each one. And may they go home another way to serve you and live for you in the year that's yet to come. Say the grace with me. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.